Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we're desperate for more of you. Help us in our desperation, Lord, to attain to those things that we need to do in our lives to find you in a deeper way, Lord. God, help us in our desperation, Lord God, and in all the things that we go through, Lord, to find you in a greater, more powerful way, Lord. God, I believe that we've all only scratched the surface of knowing our God, and so help us. in our desperation, Lord, to know you in a greater way. Hallelujah. God, without you, we're lost. Without the knowledge of God, we're lost. Without the salvation of Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're lost. We're lost without you. But God, thank you, Lord, that in our desperation, we cry out and seek your face and want more and more of you, Lord. So help us. Help us in our desperation, Lord, to know more and more of you, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. Love you so much. As we turn to your word now, Lord God, lead us by your Holy Spirit. Let us hear something from heaven today that would speak fathoms into our heart, that would show us the pathway, Lord God. Show us perhaps out of a difficult situation. Help us to hear, Lord, from heaven today that would tell us how to do things better, Lord, in our lives. Help us, Lord, to hear from heaven, Lord, to know what we're supposed to do individually in our lives with the things that we face, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit has always been faithful to us and shown us and put a light upon our pathway, shone a light on our way in life. So thank you today, God. Thank you. Bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Waiting for the return of Christ. This message, and the kids can head off to Sunday school. This message today is, forgive me, but it's thrown together at last notice. And so it may not be all that I wanted it to be, nor for you to have it as such. But I have been preparing. I think I shared with you about a few weeks ago, but I want to speak about the end times. And I was dealing a lot with information, gathering information from different sources, and even in airports on the way to Hawaii, I was doing some reading and some books and going over some things in betwixt and between all the palm trees and things like that. And so I was accumulating some information. And today I just wanted this to be an introduction. Introductions are good. Did you know that? Wasn't it nice when one day you got introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ and that he was such a blessing to you? So I believe that introductions are great for us. They bring us to something that kind of whets our appetite. So I pray today that in something I would say or do here would whet your appetite. For I really do believe that we are living in perilous times. I watch on the news. I hear things. And it was so nice to be in our hotel room in the States to listen to, in our hotel where we were, they had Fox News on there. And so that was basically the channel that was on every time that we had a moment to listen to anything or watch anything. That was basically what we were doing, is catching up on the world scene. Fox News, I don't know if anybody, it's very hard to get it in Canada. CNN seems to be the push here in Canada. It's a liberal news station. And I like Fox News because it kind of brings you back to the reality of conservatism. And it brings you back to even some of the commentators and news reporters on Fox News are Christians. So I believe they bring us to a better light on things, and that's why I prefer Fox News. You may have a different slant on that, but I look at it that way. But we did hear some things that are happening in our world. And it's sad to hear. Every time you hear, turn on the news, you do hear of things, either somebody trying to send off a missile and getting ready for nuclear warheads, or China threatening this, or North Korea doing that, or Iran doing this, and in the Middle East with all those countries around that small country of Israel, hearing of all these things that are happening over there with Libya, Yemen, and Syria. I mean, it's just a perilous times that we are living in. And I believe that you and I can't neglect what the Word of God is telling us about the end times. So if you would turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 19, as we're all waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you waiting? Are you anticipating? Are you preparing yourself for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? God wants us to be a bride that is without spot or without wrinkle and prepared and ready for the coming of the Lord. So if you would turn to Luke chapter 19. I'm going to start at verse 11, but I love the verse beforehand, and It's dealing with Zacchaeus beforehand and in the verses before verse 11 where I wanted to start. But verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the gospel right there. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came to save us, so that we would not have to face the perilous, terrible times of the great tribulation at the end of this world. And I'm so thankful. I'm a pre-tribber. Just in case you wanted to know, I believe that there's going to be a rapture before the seven-year tribulation. I believe that God is going to take us out. He's going to save us from that hour. I don't believe for a moment that God is going to subject us to the great tribulation. Why? Because we are the bride of Christ. How many have ever heard in the news when a wife gets abused? How many have ever heard in times when wives are being treated wrong and unfairly and all those kinds of things around us? And when we hear that, we understand that that's a terrible situation. I believe that God is love. He's a just God and he's a merciful God, and I believe that he loves his bride. He's not going to put his bride through abusing and beating up and everything else going through the seven-year tribulation. So that's why I stand on a pre-trib stance. I believe that Jesus Christ is going to save us from that hour of temptation and great tribulation upon this earth. If you want to go through it, you just say, God, I don't believe in the pre-trib thing. So you just anticipate waiting for all that muck and mire and the things that are going to happen that you read in the book of Revelations. Go ahead and anticipate that. But I'm anticipating a trump of God and the sound of God, the shout of God, and going up and meeting him in the air. And so we shall ever be with. And that's why I comfort one another with those words. How about you? Luke chapter 19. Verse 11, this is Jesus speaking here and getting prepared for a parable. Now, as they heard these things of what they spoke to Zacchaeus, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Amazing, that's what they thought, that Jesus would bring the kingdom of God and it was going to appear immediately before them. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Do business till I come. For anybody who's been saved for any length of time, you notice that over the last few years, perhaps not as much preaching has been done on the end times. And I always try to push myself to at least include one or two messages every year to bring us back to the reality that Jesus is coming. He is coming back. And I really believe that over the last few years, there has not been as much preaching from pulpits dealing with the last days, the end times. And I believe that we need to get back to that. We need to get back to the fact of when I first came into Pentecost back in the 70s, there seems to be an urgency of the hour. Everybody say urgency. Urgency of the hour, urgency of the day, urgency of the moment. Moment by moment, we live as Christians that Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. We cannot sit back. We cannot sit around. We cannot be sitting down. We must live out and speak out of the soon return of the Lord and the coming of the Son of God in this of what we call not the first advent, because Jesus already came into this world, but we believe in the second advent, the coming of the Lord, as many refer to it. Don't know if you are saved today. Only God knows if you are saved. I stand at this pulpit and I look at faces, and you can come in here with a smile on your face, and you can come to church week after week after week, and you can go through all the motions and all the charismatic language and everything else, but only God knows your heart. And you know where you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. For sure, many over the years have attended church services, and I believe that many come to church out of duty, out of respect for the house of God, because they heard something somewhere and say, well, I should go because that's just showing respect on a Sunday. And some out of some desire to fulfill, but the scriptures tell us that we are not going to make it to heaven on good behavior. We are not going to make it to heaven on good works. We're not going to make it to heaven on good looks. Amen? Or anything else that we may think is good. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 is still the point of going past good behavior, good conduct. For it says, and this is what it says in Romans chapter 10, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's a calling. It's not looking good. It's a calling. You call upon the Lord Jesus. Save me, save me, save me. That's what we have to do, is call upon Jesus. And it's asking him into our heart and our life, believing in our heart and our life that Jesus Christ is our Savior from that moment that we call upon the Lord. Amen? So it never mentions in any of those scriptures that if we are good, we'll be saved. Never mentions if we have all kinds of good behavior in this world that we will be saved. But if we believe, if we put our trust, our faith, our life in the hands of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for you and I, for the removal of our sins, that's how we get saved. Amen? Can you say praise God? So whether we are saved or not, this world is headed in the direction that God is taking it. Whether you believe in God or not, this world is heading to where God has in store for the end times. Whether you want to believe in the Bible or believe in Jesus Christ or whether you're saved or not, it's heading to where he is taking us. And that's all that can be said about it. It's not our direction, it's God's direction. So if God is directing this world, isn't it good to put our trust in the one who's directing it? To put our trust and our life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are all headed, whether we care to admit or not, we're all headed in God's direction, and we look at the destiny of this world, and I think that many in centuries gone by, and perhaps many today, they always ask the destiny questions. I believe that, have you ever heard of the Alpha Course? Many of the destiny questions are brought to light in the Alpha Course. The questions they ask in the Alpha Course, and sometimes people ask are, what are we headed for in this world? What are we headed for? Where is all this going anyway? As they look at news, I mean, people without Jesus Christ, they must wonder, where is this all going? Where is it all headed? And some people would even ask, what does my life mean here on this planet? What am I here for? What am I doing here? What will be the outcome of this planet Earth as we now know it? Is it going to be changed? Well, we know it will be changed if you know the Scriptures. You even find some of the questions that people ask, and even in the Alpha Course, if you've ever taken that course, it causes us to think about God. Think about what God is doing. Think about the direction that God is taking us. Think about where our life is without God. And so the Alpha Course is trying to push us towards a place of accepting Jesus Christ, getting us to think about God, getting us to turn our minds and our hopes and our life towards God, and eventually, hopefully, that we will surrender our lives to him. And I believe that one of the major questions that comes up many times is this: what will be the end if indeed there will be an end? How many movies are put out talking about the Armageddon, apocalypse, the end of the world? I mean, Hollywood has a concept of it all. They like to make money off it all, but only God knows the outcome of it all. And as I look at all these good questions that people ask and that we've been asking over the centuries, people have been asking, I believe that God has all the answers for you and I. Do you believe that today? I believe that God has all the answers tucked away in his word for you and I. As he did with his followers, when they began to ask the questions, when they began to ask Jesus, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the end? And these kinds of questions have been asked before by others long before we ever got to thinking about all this stuff. In fact, read some of the books by Christian authors over the last few hundred centuries, and you'll find that people have been wondering for a long time, where is this all going? Even in Bible times, as you look in the New Testament, when the apostles lived, Paul was asked quite frequently about the end of days and had to address it even in his letters. You'll find out that he talks about this a few times. And even Matthew chapter 24, when those disciples were surrounded by Jesus and they were looking at the temple, and they were Jesus was talking about that temple being torn down stone by stone by stone, and his disciples were there. And it says in Matthew chapter 24, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? They wanted to know, even 2,000 years ago, what was going to happen at the end. And even before, after the resurrected Christ, when he came and appeared himself to the disciples and those people in the upper room, they even got before Jesus was giving them their last goodbye, before he ascended to the right hand of the Father. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" They want to know, is this it? Is this the time? Even the Pharisees somehow felt led to ask Jesus about this. You'll find in Luke chapter 17, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them something which was really profound. He said to the Pharisees this, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation.'" I like that. You just don't look at the kingdom of God. You've got to participate in it. You've got to accept it. You've got to accept the one who is of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees, all they were doing was just looking. They were just observing. They were just watching Jesus and trying to trip him up many times in his life here on planet Earth. And even in Luke chapter 19, verse 11, as we read, "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was New Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately." It seems clear as we read the Word of God that our thoughts and our questions and our searchings are all valid. It's happened before we ever lived, and it will continue this way till Jesus comes. And I believe this is good for us, because I believe that God has placed in all of us this desire not only to know him, but to know his word and to know the outcome of what's happening on planet Earth. Because when you and I know the outcome of what's happening in the end, won't we want to get our friends and family to Jesus? When we know what's going to happen in the end, that should somebody die without Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. Isn't that a good reason to tell somebody in your family about Jesus? Amen? So Jesus was asked by the disciples this question. "And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" In the King James Version, instead of saying the end of the age, it says the end of the world. I like that. The end of the world. You see, you aren't first in thinking that or even asking it. But in the disciples asking Jesus about it all, makes me think of that those before us realize that Jesus is the only one who has the answers to those questions. And so that's why they asked Jesus. Question: what will be Earth's final outcome and of mankind? That's what they were stating. That's what they're asking. You know, and as you think about this, that is all that they wanted to know. Don't you want to know that today? More and more about Jesus. Are you desperate for Jesus more and more? Are you digging deeper? And are you climbing higher in the Lord? Because that's where we need to go. Hallelujah. I like that scripture that you started with, John, this morning, where it says that knowledge, it's just hard to attain. But it's higher than us. And if we want to get to that knowledge that's higher than us, you got to climb. And I was thinking that this morning. We got to climb as we get to that knowledge of God and know everything about him. Anybody remember the mamas and the papas? She had a wonderful voice, Mama Cass. And if you remember any of them, for those who have got a little bit of white hair or no hair, that you'll understand that they were a great group back in those late 60s, early 70s. I believe that she died choking on something or whatever. Ham sandwich, yeah. Wow. And anyway, they wrote beautiful songs and neat things. One of the songs they had back in their days and the hippie movement and the psychedelic and all that kind of stuff. You know, it was kind of like, you know, back in those days, there was this, hippies kind of had this belief in God, but yet they smoked marijuana. I don't know, I guess they're trying to get high on God, but you know, every time you get closer to God and you get desperate for God, you'll get high no matter what. You don't have to smoke anything, drink anything, or shoot anything up to get close to God. You just say, "God, I want you," and he'll get you higher. Amen? You'll climb higher. But the mamas and the papas had a song called "There's a New World Coming." Remember that one? I looked up the lyrics on it just to remind myself of it. But it says, "There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end." So true in that song. But yet I believe that even back in those days, people were asking questions. And as I think about that, did they really believe that? I mean, is there really going to be an end to this world? And over the years, you know, as I look, and even our nation of Canada, it's interesting. The more and more I hear of that, we are under the Federation of the Provinces of Canada. And remember back in the 90s when the referendum vote came and Quebec was seriously thinking of separating from the Federation of the Provinces. And thank God that the vote didn't go through. They were kept in, although there's many people in the province of Quebec that would still like to be out of the Federation of Canada. And I just heard recently out west that, some of the provinces, British Columbia and Alberta, would like to opt out of Canada. And as I look at that, it's sad because everybody wants to divide themselves. Everybody wants to separate from self. You know, we're better together. Better together in the church, we're better together. And as I think of all the stuff going on, some of the states, even I've heard just lately about California, the reason why they want to separate from the United States is because of President Trump. They just don't get along with him. They don't like his philosophy, the way he's doing things. They don't like the way he's carrying on business. So California is kind of talking about that right now. It was kind of interesting. When we're in Hawaii, did you know that Hawaii was the last state to join the 50 states? And while we're in Hawaii, they joined the states in 1957. One of our tour guide leaders was telling us that back in the early 50s when it was coming along, like they even had a military base in Hawaii at that time before it was the 50th state. And this tour guide told us that, back in those days, they didn't want to join the United States. As a matter of fact, they sent a petition around saying they didn't want to join with the United States. So the petition went around the islands, and they took up this petition. They had hundreds of thousands of signatures on this thing, but all of a sudden, when it came down to the vote, that petition list got lost. Interesting. I don't know how it got lost, but it got lost. So anyway, they joined in the United States, and one of our tour guide bus drivers was telling us that they just uncovered in some of the notes and paraphernalia of the government, they just uncovered that petition list. And so they are right now on the verge of saying, should we go back and uphold this petition list and opting out of the 50 states so they would came in last, they might be the first one out. I don't know, but it doesn't stop my travel to Hawaii. Amen, it's beautiful there. You ought to go there sometime. Beautiful, beautiful place. It's amazing, all of our world, everybody wants to split, everybody wants to cut up. And as I look at this world, the world, in a sense, is dismantling itself at a fast rate. It's dismantling in what God intended for. I mean, back when I was growing up, churches were everywhere in the city of Oshawa. Stores closed down. There was no shopping. The only thing that was open on a Sunday was a pharmacy. And then of all the pharmacies in Oshawa, they would put a sign in the window of which one was open. None of them would open up except for the one. And they would take turns because of people needing medication on a Sunday. So they would have one pharmacy open. I think it was great in those days. And the more you had, the less of Sunday shopping, the more people were in tune to go to church and go to God. But we are, after Sunday shopping came in the late 80s and all the dismantling of our stores, I mean, over in Hawaii, everything is carte blanche. You can go anywhere, shop anytime. Basically, some of the places are open 24 hours. And as I look at this world, it's just chaos. It's dismantling. Things are getting uglier all the time for even the world travel. They tell us that wherever you go someplace in the world, check beforehand just to make sure it's safe that time when you're going. I mean, if you want to go to the Middle East with respect to Israel, all the place, you have to check ahead of time. And Iran firing off those missiles that could indeed contain nuclear warheads, and many people in our world just turning their heads away and say, well, let them have the nuclear devices. In China, North Korea, and all the places in our world, every time we get to a new year, I think of all the stuff that's gone on the last year, but I look into the new year, and I deeply desire to see the church grow. I always come into the month of January and in the part of New Year, and here we are in February, and I'm just desiring to see the church grow and blossom and that we would just see all out the people getting saved. It's something that we read about in revivals where people running to the altars and confessing Jesus Christ and asking for the mercy of God. I pray that somehow we would see that again, even in our day before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see people get saved. I want to see them get filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see them get on fire for God and reach out to others around them and their families. to have a deeper walk in Jesus, have a desire to climb higher in Him. But with each year that comes along, knowing what the Bible says, I often wonder as we get into a new year, could this be the year? Could this be the year if the Lord Jesus Christ returned? Could this be the year that ushers in the end of the world as we now know it? The Bible says when Jesus comes back, it will no longer be business as usual. It's going to be completely changed when the Son of God comes back. So is 2017 the year of getting closer to a one world monetary system? All this talk over the last 10, 20 years, a new world coming, a new monetary system. And I was just flabbergasted about a year or so ago when I heard about the Bitcoin or the bit dollar. Anybody heard about that? I mean this monetary system that's in cyberspace. You don't have anything that you put your hands on. It's not plastic. It's just in cyberspace, money that we have somewhere floating out there. I thought that was cool. Wish it would land in my house. But it's a virtual money system through the internet with nothing substantial that you and I could hold on to but have it in cyberspace somewhere. The Treaty of Rome, signed about 60 years ago, has become to the European Economic Council, that common market, the EU, and now Britain has opted out, and it's almost made it all that revived Roman Empire, but you never know what's going to happen. I mean, just chaos everywhere. What's happening with this world? And as all these systems are building and manufacturing and making alliances over the years, we've seen the Berlin Wall come down. Remember that? And then they thought USSR was done for, and then the Soviet Union came right back up, and Putin is waving his ugly fist in the face of the world right now. I mean, we look all around us, and it's communism goes down in one place, and it goes up in another place. I mean, it's crazy in our world, and increases in all kinds of ways. China, who could very well become the next superpower of our world, has also seen people looking for a democratic way out of the communism. Remember a few years ago at Tiananmen Square? They opted out. They didn't want to see the communistic ways. And even though communism is still alive in China, the church may be the largest and the strongest and fastest growing in China right now in the world. Peace is trying to speak to all the nations all over our world. Global peace is trying to push its way everywhere. But I love what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when Paul addressed this very thing to the church at Thessalonica and they were dealing with the end times. But Paul said this, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." And they say, peace and safety. That's what the world is trying to say in the midst of all the turmoil that's around us. Freedom and peace, I believe that one day will prevail. Freedom and peace will one day prevail. Peace will be ushered in, and it's all going to quiet down this world just any day now, despite the wars and the rumors of wars all around us. And the peace that the Prince of Peace brings to our world will not be brought in by the UN peace troops. So is peace coming? Is the world getting better? A lot of people think so. Is there a new world coming? Is there a new world order coming as we hear this from talk shows and presidents and leaders all around the world? Yes, there is a new world order coming. There is a new world coming, a new world order. Jesus Christ is returning, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every president, every queen, every king, every prime minister, every dignitary, every high official is going to have to bow at the name of Jesus and confess Him as Lord. Jesus is coming again. You know, history tells us the church is the strongest and the healthiest when the saints of God are eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when we're the healthiest, when we're waiting and waiting and waiting, because when we wait the arrival of Jesus Christ, we will preach more about His return. Are we awaiting the arrival of Jesus? Are you ready? Or has anybody given up? Matthew chapter 24 and 25, we're going to be getting into that. Next week, we got Daniel Meyer with us. And I was kind of hoping to put off this introductory message to a little later on, but we've got Daniel Meyer with us. And the following Sunday, we've got our missionaries with us from a RAN country, Restricted Access Nation country. Can't tell you where they're from. You'll meet them in two Sundays, but they're going to be here and sharing with us on the things that they go through as missionaries, and they're going to give us highlights and ask us to pray for them. So I want you to be here for that Sunday, but that is 3 weeks away before we get back to the end time, so I don't want you to forget this message as an introductory message. Would you please keep it filed away? And it's going to be put up on the webpage too, right? So you'll be able to hear it over and over again over the next 3 weeks before we get into the month of March and getting on to this. But I want to really encourage us today, because I wanted to get to this place of saying in this introductory message that you and I need to be in a spirit of watchfulness. You and I need to be in a spirit of readiness for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we got up in the plane, I don't really like jet planes. Betty doesn't like the landing or the takeoff. I would look over her and she's, I said, Betty, look out the window. Like, see the ground going away from us. And then we got down to Honolulu. You know, when we landed there, it was a real rough landing. I don't know if it's got a short landing strip because it's an island or whatever. So you folks get ready for it, you know, when you get there. But when we got down to Honolulu, I don't know if it was the winds coming in, but that plane came down and bounced and shook and everything else like that. I even got a little scared then. You know, you don't know if the plane's going to flip-flop or whatever. Yeah, it's amazing what we trust in these days, isn't it? You know, put your faith in Jesus, not in planes. Amen? But when we got up in the sky and we left Chicago when we were flying into Toronto, and we left Chicago, it was kind of foggy, cloudy, and everything else. Glad it wasn't snowing, so none of the planes were delayed. But you're all in this cloudiness, and the plane's going through, and I'm sitting there thinking as I look at these clouds, how does the pilot know where he's going? Like, I can't see a thing out there. But I guess they have all the technology in there like that. And so you're going along, and all of a sudden you break through the clouds. And there you are, all the clouds below you, and the sunshine up there. And I'm looking up there, wow. I said, God, today I'm a little closer. I'm a little closer. I was just kind of looking out the window, looking at the sun and the bright clouds. Like, clouds look like you can walk on them. It's like cotton batting out there or something. You know, you just look down on them. It was really, really beautiful. But I just, as I looked out there and I was thinking of these end time messages, I said, Jesus, one of these days, those clouds that are below us are going to part. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come through. And every eye will see him. Everyone will see the Lord Jesus Christ when those clouds are broken. And as Jesus was encouraging in them that watchfulness, you know, and trying to tell them that, to be ready, do business till I come. Occupy till I come, says the King James Version, doing business. You know, as Jesus spoke of this anticipation, this pressurization and this expectation, and through it all boils down to you and I for Jesus, is where is our commitment? Where is our life walking with Jesus? In one of his parables, Jesus even connected with his followers in describing their time of waiting for the return. That's why he said here in this parable, do business till I come. We're in the waiting stage right now. We're in the anticipating stage right now. The church knows the word of God. The church is anticipating. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back, but we're in the waiting stage right now. We're what the dispensationalists would call the church age. We are in this time of this wonderful time when the church can sing praises on a Sunday morning. We can preach the word of God. Not so in some countries where they're very hidden in back rooms and so forth. But thank God that you and I in Canada can come to the house of God this morning and lift our hands and sing the wonderful songs we sing, preach the word of God, be encouraged in the word of God with no fear of anybody coming in and shooting us or arresting us or anything else because of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we have that freedom, and Jesus wants us to enjoy that in our waiting time. So I believe that in that expecting and that waiting time, it brings commitment. A disciple or a follower cannot be more devoted than one who is really ready for his Lord. Did you hear that? A disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ cannot be more devoted than one who is really ready for his Lord. And as we study in the month of March about the prophecies in the Bible and the coming of the Lord, I believe that it should take us to a deeper consecration for Jesus Christ and his word. The more we look at the end times, the more we will believe it to be true. The more you read something, the more you get into your heart. Don't you get closer to that fact? The more that you anticipate, the more you study it, the more you read about it, the more you memorize it, the more you think about it, the more you'll get to that place. And so that's what we want to do, is to bring us to that place of ourselves, because when we get ourselves there, others will find out too, because we'll share with them. See, a deeper consecration for Jesus and the gospel message it brings will come to reality. If we realize Jesus is coming again, it will make us live a lot differently than we have. Amen. That's why Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." I have a desire that Holy Spirit will lead us on in some messages about the last days that will really encourage us. I pray, invite somebody out, you know, because sometimes people will often say to you, whether it's in an apartment building or in a store or someplace where you are, they'll say, "Look at the news. Isn't that wild news?" And they'll tell you something about the predicament of the world. They won't tell you they believe in Jesus. They won't tell you they believe in the coming of Jesus. They'll just tell you that the world situation looks bad. And here's an excellent opportunity to say, "Hey, our pastor in the month of March is going to be talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, which has the Bible tells us all about the last days." So here's a great time to invite somebody to come to these messages and hear about what's going to happen last days to them if they know Jesus, to them if they don't know Jesus. Amen? I've heard some of the people over the years, some of the popularity of studying the end times, and I believe there's a lot of sensationalism around the end times brought by a lot of speakers, a lot of evangelists, and so forth. And I don't want to bring you any sensationalism, but I believe that Bible prophecy must be studied and learned so that you and I can grow closer to God and deeper in love with Him. When we come to church, we should come expecting. Expect. Amen. When we come to church. When I preach with expectancy. I look out at all your faces and I pray that that somebody here, maybe somebody doesn't know Jesus Christ, maybe somebody's struggling in their faith, maybe somebody's down and discouraged, maybe somebody's just facing a momentous situation, maybe somebody's just facing something of which they cannot handle. And so I pray that somehow when we come to church, this isn't just another Sunday. This is not just another time around the Word of God. This is not just another song service. But I come expecting that somehow you're going to get a breakthrough. Somehow you're going to get closer to Jesus. Somehow you're going to grow in Jesus on this particular Sunday. That somehow this Sunday will change your life. I pray that and I expect that when I come to this pulpit. I'm not just coming up here for the good of my life. I come up here to preach the Word of God because God's Word is powerful. It's rich, it's wonderful, it's glorious, the Word of God. I expect to see people to come to Lord Jesus Christ, or at least to take another step closer to Him. I expect to see people who've been sitting on fences, compromising in their Christian walks, to recommit and burn with a fire and a fervency in their hearts and lives because of the hour that we do live in. I expect to see a thorough recommitting of lives to Christ for those who aren't really sure of their salvation. Sometimes people, "I don't know. I think I believe in God. I hope so." They're not really sure. I want to see blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, come to be in our church. Amen? How about you? I expect to see all of us somehow get a deeper grip on the Word of God and have a deeper desire to serve Christ with our whole heart and not just half the heart or not a quarter of the heart. And I expect to see Cornwall Pentecostal Church thoroughly ready for the coming of the Lord, that we would be a bride without spot or blemish, that we would be able to present each other before Him when He comes, when that twinkling of the eye happens and the trump of God sounds, and we will be caught up together with Him, that we will all go up, that nobody will be left behind, that we'll be a church. We're together this morning, but we'll be together going up in the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I pray, and that's what I expect. My prayer for this church, for the end times messages, will not just be to thrill you or to tickle your ears with another message on the end times. I pray that we will be so much on fire for Jesus that we will not be able to contain ourselves in the love for Jesus Christ as we walk out of this church. The church needs to maintain a strong biblical approach in dealing with the Lord's return and the whole of the dealing of the issue of the end times, of which is a major issue in the Word of God. Do business till I come. Do business. Occupy. Do something till I come. That's what the Word of God is telling us. So I ask you now, prepare yourself for these messages. Stir yourself, because I believe the end times is getting closer as I look at the world and watch the news. I pray that we will together be more of the aware of the day that we live in. Amen. Would the worship team come, please? Have you got an end day song? Just kidding. I don't want to put any pressure on you. Amen. It's always good to sing songs about Jesus, but maybe in the month of March, get some songs dealing with the coming of Jesus. Could you do that? Amen. The truth is, you and I are living in a day that is closer and closer to the coming of Jesus. I know the Word of God even tells us that many people mocked about, well, that we've heard that for many years. Heard it being said, and he's still not here. Did you know that that message will one day come true? Laugh and mock and all we can do in this world, but I tell you, Jesus is coming back. The truth is that you and I are living in a day which I believe could usher in the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, everything is just so ripe. Everything is just so ready. As I look at our world and all the situations around us, and we'll be talking about marriage in a little while, having some courses, a six-week course on Wednesday night Bible studies dealing with marriage. As I look in our world right now, and it doesn't matter where you go, whether you're in Chicago or Los Angeles or Fort Worth, Texas or Hawaii, you still see people where they don't know what marriage is about. Guy with guy, girl with girl. I mean, what happened to the concept that God says with a man and a woman? All around our world, homosexuality and lesbianism is growing all over the place. Marriage is becoming defiled, and it is a sad world that we're living in. Sin is rampant all around us. I believe that Jesus is coming back. How about you? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Father, I thank you this morning for this introductory message to inspire us, to encourage us, to whet our appetite, to bring us back to a realization that you're coming back. God, take this message this morning. I know it'll be another 3 weeks before we hear another message on the end times. But God, I pray that there's a reason why it's on this Sunday. I believe that you've dropped a nugget into our hearts about your coming. I believe that you dropped that nugget there for a reason. And so I expect right now, Lord God, that nobody's here by coincidence or by chance, that every one of us needed to hear this message, myself included. Thank you, Lord, for the study. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're always doing some great things. Thank you that you do these things. And so I pray this morning, Lord, there's somebody here struggling in their faith. God, let them dig a little deeper, but climb a little higher. God, if there's somebody here this morning that's not really sure about their salvation, God, I pray that even though we can walk in and we can put on our happy face and we can look and sound good as Christians, but if there's somebody here who's this morning just not really sure about their salvation, I pray, Lord God, somehow let there be a breakthrough today for their heart and their life, that they will be able to walk out of this church today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are saved and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way that they could ever have doubt and skepticism is because the devil has come along and planted the seed. So God, I pray this morning, let that seed be taken out and let the flow of the blood of Jesus Christ come into that life. I pray this morning, Lord God, for anybody who doesn't really believe in the end times, who has never really anticipated, never done any study about it, never really researched or anything else, and it's just like to read the Gospels about Jesus as love, 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 and he is a Savior of love. But God, he loves this world so very much that he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's a merciful God. He's a judge. He's merciful, and he's holding back every day, praying that the will of God would be succumbed to our world, that no one would perish, but that everyone would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his Son. God is holding off that moment, holding off for the sake of somebody to come to Jesus. Thank God that he's waiting. Thank God that he's waiting. But here the church is waiting too. We're in that time of occupying till he comes. Help us to be the church to rise up and with the power of the Holy Spirit to make sure with our family and our friends and our loved ones that they will know that Jesus Christ loves them and wants them in the fold. So God, I pray over every one of these areas, and I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do over these messages. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Behold, he comes.
Yes.
Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
At the trumpet call,
lift your voice.
It's the year of Jubilee.
And out of Zion's hills, salvation.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, God.
Are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored.
Yes, hallelujah.
Though these are days of great trial,
we know that,
of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying,
prepare ye
the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, oh, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. When out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, God.
These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh.
Praise you, Lord.
These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of harvest. The fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers.
We're the laborers. Praise God.
Declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
Yeah.
At the praise God. Call, oh, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Behold,
he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
No God like Jehovah? Amen.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like
yeah.
Jehovah. There's no God like 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 Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call,
oh, lift
your voice, the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. And out of Zion's
Behold, he comes. I like that. And he is coming. Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the message of the Bible. Behold, you are coming. You are returning. You will return, Lord. So we are to occupy till you come. Thank you, God. Prepare our hearts. Prepare our lives. Keep us in readiness. Keep us like those five wise virgins with our lamps trimmed and ready to burn in a moment's notice because the bridegroom is returning. Father, thank you for the message of your word. Thank you for the preparedness of the church. Thank you. Keep us ready, Lord, for your coming. Lord, as we walk from this place, Lord, keep us stirred. Keep us close. Keep us hungry. Keep us desperate. Keep us longing for more and more of you. We love you, God. We love you, God. We thank you for this service today. Go with us now, Lord Jesus. And we praise you for what you've done in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Aloha.